Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's gospel is a continuation of last Sunday's gospel where we left off, which is fitting for today as we have confirmation part two. Last Sunday, Jesus said that he is the vine and that we are his branches. We produce fruit only as we abide in him. For apart from him, we can produce nothing. Apart from him, we can only shrivel up and die. We learn that the Holy Spirit is the one who has placed us into the vine, has grafted us in through faith, and that we are to abide or remain in Jesus, where he will feed us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. As we hear the continuation of Jesus' teaching today, we hear him say that as his branches, we are fed by his very love. And as such, we in turn are supposed to produce fruit of that love. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." But what is love? There is no other word in the English language which has inspired so many hearts and minds. Countless stories and poems, songs, movies, and even battle cries have all gone out in the name of love. It is one of the most overused words in the English language as well. We love our parents. We love our brothers and sisters. We love our children. We love our town. We love our house. We love our cars. We love our ice cream. We love chocolate. We love baseball, if you're right, or football, if you're into that. We love sunsets. We love long walks on the beach. We love in so many different things in so many different ways. It's hard to know exactly what it means when Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." It is often used as a criticism of Christianity, that we are supposed to be loving people. Therefore, when we speak of sin or apply God's law, we are accused of being just the opposite. After all, in our modern notion of love, it means that we are accepting and supportive and embrace each other for who we are and what we do. If we do anything else, then, we are simply being judgmental and unloving. Many Christians have even listened to this voice and have become convinced of it themselves, that all we are commanded to do is to wholeheartedly embrace one another without a single word of rebuke or correction. Yet is that the true definition of love? Is this the meaning of the command to love one another? No one in their right mind, I don't believe, would argue that it is loving and supportive to tell an alcoholic that it is okay to take one more drink, or to support a drug addict in their acquiring of such substances. No one in their right mind would say that it is loving to support an abuser in the exploitation of their victims. Why would we then say that it is loving to support someone in their sin when all they are doing is hurting themselves or others? John helps then clarify what it means for us Christians to love one another. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We know that love is not simply an emotion that stirs us. Instead, love is primarily expressed in our actions. As Christians, our whole definition of love, then, is wrapped up in the commandments of God. As James and Mary both learned and know, love is the summary of the Ten Commandments. Jesus himself summarized them in this way: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second commandment, greatest commandment, is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So when Jesus commands us to love one another, he is telling us that we do so by obeying God's commandments. But if we stop here, this definition remains incomplete. For there is more to love than only following the commandments. For as James and Mary also could tell you, that we cannot on our own obey God's law. That unholy trinity, Satan, the world, and our own sinful flesh, actively work against us because they do not want us to hallow God's name or to let his kingdom come among us. And so they tempt us to break God's commandments, and they tempt us to teach others to do the same. Each and every day we break his commandments, and so we do fail each and every day to love God and love one another. If left to our own devices, we turn to other idols. No idol being greater than self-worship as we seek to gratify the desires of our own flesh. We easily misuse the name of the Lord by treating it as some sort of good luck charm or by carelessly teaching his word falsely. We do not remember the Sabbath day when we neglect to gather together with the saints and justify it for one reason or another. We find reasons to ignore and even reject authority. We find excuses to hate one another and despise human life. We look at others with lust in our eyes. We take what is not our own. We speak ill of our neighbors at any given chance. And we cannot even find contentment in the things that God has given. So how could we possibly love one another when we can't follow God's law for even a single day? It is because that definition of love remains incomplete. But when we hear Christ's words, it comes full circle. We hear from Christ that love not only confronts sin, but it covers sin. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. Christ has not ignored our failures. He does not tell us that our sins are okay. Instead, he confronts us with the full weight of our sin by taking them upon himself as he is crucified on the cross. He bears our sin and faces the full weight of God's wrath in our place. And he shows us the cost of our sin. Each and every failure of ours, each and every transgression of God's commandments, even our very own sinful nature, is taken into Christ on the cross and put to death. In him, we have been freed from the burdens and the guilt of the law, not so that we can ignore the law, but so that we can delight in the law of God once more and love God and one another. Through Christ, we have forgiveness of sins, So that when we fail to love God, and when we fail to love our neighbors as ourselves, as He has loved us, we are able to turn back once again to Him and to repent with the full assurance that in Christ we have the forgiveness of sins and the love of God. This is why John tells us that God's commandments, even though we fail to meet them every day, are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world that is sick and dying. And this is the victory that has overcome that world, our faith. And who is it that overcomes except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Since we do have life and salvation in the name of Christ, we are freed from our burdens to joyfully and gladly do the will of our Father and to teach others to do the same. In Him, we are no longer servants of the law, but we are friends to it. We are not bound by its threats and punishments, but we are friends of Christ. And for His sake, we know the will of our Father. That will is to save us and to save others. For this reason, God has chosen you. For this purpose, for His salvation, He has chosen you because Jesus has laid down His life and love for you that you may share His love with others. For this reason, we gladly love one another because He first loved us, not only by confronting us with our sins, but bringing us the forgiveness and life everlasting. And as we go out and produce the fruits of love, we do the same. By confronting one another in our sin, but then when we repent, by sharing God's everlasting forgiveness, life, and salvation. This is how we bear fruit in love, and this is how we abide in the love of Christ for us. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.